Again. Good evening.
Good evening.
I could hear you. You just couldn't hear me. Good evening and welcome, everyone. Welcome to this New Year's Eve service and this also this old year's remembrance and gratitude service. The Lord be with you. It's good to be together. It's good to give thanks to our God. The first words that we're going to sing together tonight are from the song Praise to the Lord the Almighty. And actually, during this pandemic, this has been a song that's always struck a chord with me. There's this one little line in this song where it says, "For he is your health and salvation." And it's always got me every time as we've been going through this whole pandemic. And so let's rise in body or spirit. Let's sing praise to the Lord, for he is always good. He is our health and our salvation. Friends, receive this greeting from God as we gather here, hearts together tonight. Grace and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father, from Jesus Christ his Son, and from the Holy Spirit who is with us. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Let's take a moment, let's greet one another here and pass the peace of Christ. How are you?
I will read Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. He You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Thank you, Flo. And we hear also these words from Psalm 90. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We think about how God has been there for us throughout this past year. It's one of the reasons we gather together tonight. And we have some photo remembrances, a year in review, that Don has put together for us that we will share. This will be up on the screen. These photos include some key world events from the past year, but they also include events and times when we spent together, our life together here as a faith family at Neyland. So let's enjoy this and let's reflect on God's goodness to us through the good times and the bad.
Thank you.
A light shines in the darkness. So many joys, so many heartaches. But we are grateful to God for everyone. This evening, we have the chance to share some remembrances now, some testimonies. Anyone is welcome. We are dangerous enough to try and open mic at these things. So feel free to come up and share if you have a prayer concern or a testimony, something of God's grace you'd like to share, or some struggle even. That would be appropriate at this time. There's a few people who already are prepared and can come up to begin, but all are welcome at this time.
I can go first. So I'm David Zwar. And I was thinking about 2021, and there's two people that I admired greatly that turned 90 this year. One is John Van Ryn from our church, who I admire greatly. And my grandmother also turned 90 this year. And at the same year, I turned 45, so I'm halfway there. And I think about, well, what do I want to do in the next 45 years? Who do I want to become? And I'm one of those persons that likes to always look forward to something. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? And then the pandemic hit. There was, all those plans kind of had to go away. And then this year, many of you know, Cresta had a health scare. And you have to slow down. And you can't make those plans. And so you think about, what do you want to do? How are you going to live in the moment? Sorry. And so, as we dealt with that for the last 6 weeks, it was 6 weeks ago this week that she had surgery, and 2 weeks before that. It's been 8 weeks only that we've known about this, and now she's fine, and we're all in good health. And we were thankful for the wide and deep network of support that we had, and the prayers that we felt. And so I keep thinking about how to live in the moment, how to be right here. And the verses that come to my mind quickly were Matthew 6, 28, starting there, and then a little bit more. And it struck me as I was thinking about it a little bit differently this time. It said, in Matthew 6, verse 28, it says, "And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." And I keep thinking, I've always been, yeah, that planner, that thinking ahead. And here this struck me that, what is it about lilies and flowers? And I think it comes down then in verse 33 where it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." So if I think about my grandparent, my grandmother, who's 90 now, and John Van Ryn, I don't even know much of what John did before the last 10 years that I've met him. But I know what kind of person he is now, the kind of lily that he is. And I think of my grandmother as well and the kind of person that she is, and the raising 8 kids and now 51 great-grandchildren, large family. And she's been a lily of the field, right? She's just radiated this kind of person. And so if I think about 2021, I think about and reflect on those things, on how, on how to be a lily of the field. And so that'd be my challenge to all of you and my challenge to myself to be that lily this year.
I was asked to reflect on something, but I'm not going to do what I was asked to do. Sorry. I want to give thanks tonight for Larry Louders. I thought he's going to be in Colorado. I didn't know he's actually going to be here. I reflect on the last couple of years at Neyland, and there are any number of issues at this church and that at any church like it that could have done us in. I think COVID was a big one. I think the building program, I think our relationship to the denomination, those three things have been challenging issues, particularly for the leadership of the church. And Larry has been so steady and reassuring and throughout all of that. And I think most of us probably don't know how many churches are absolutely in trouble just because of their divisions around COVID-related things. Things as simple as wearing masks or not. And we've been spared that. It's not to say that we all have the same politics or the same, you know, the same perspective on a lot of things, but that doesn't go to the point. And the building program, there have been some really times where we just have looked at each other and said, "What are we going to do? You know, this price keeps going up, and we got over $1 million to spend on this, and the people have already committed to it, and the congregation keeps saying yeah." And again, steady leadership on the part of Larry and council and the pastors. An overwhelming majority of the congregation says, "Get out the shovels." And on our relationship to the denomination, I know we don't know what's going to happen at the Synod of 2022. But I know the spirit in which Neyland Church has made the decisions it's made around its leadership. And I just believe that God is with us in this. I visited Ruth Banstra the other day as a PCA, and she said, "Oh, Duane, I just feel so bad for the way some of those some people talk about us as a church. I just, the Neyland," and I said, "Oh, Ruth," I said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I said, "There are a lot of people who really appreciate what Neyland is doing." She said, "Really?" It's like she didn't know there was one. And so I just think on all three of those issues, in particular, and there's so many others and so many things have happened. Thank you, Larry, for your leadership. Thanks to the council for its leadership. Thanks to the staff, the pastors, and Dawn, and others. I am so thankful tonight for God's guiding hand through all of you for Neyland Church in 2021, and I'm really excited about 2022.
Well, he did what he was supposed to do, so that's good. So here's where we go into the part that anybody can come up. Those two were prepared, as you probably figured out. I'm going to second my appreciation for Larry, but also for Mary Jo. You guys just walk and serve together in so many ways, and I'm really thankful for that. So I'm going to quickly also say thank you for the Hudson family. You know how dear they are to us, but now they are becoming dear to so many of you. And for the people that stepped up for 5 months to do kindergarten with Janae, because she hadn't done kindergarten, for all of you who are supporting them with Christian Ed money now at Evergreen, for baptisms and profession of faith this year, it's just such an answer to prayer. And Elder Steve and so many people, anybody who calls them for junk removal, who passes on, who helps create a network where there's not a network, where there's, you know, privilege and resources that then get expanded. Praise God. Praise God.
My name is Kathy DeMay. I think most of you know me. I'm really grateful tonight for my Bible study group. It's a women's group, although it doesn't have to be women only. It just turns out it's that way. We meet every other Monday night, and when we were not able to gather in person, or not many of us chose to gather in person, this group kind of anchored me and my faith. And I believe that, yeah, Laurel is in the group. Let's see, who else here tonight? Yeah. The group has been growing because some of our members have invited others to join us. And we had a really wonderful trek through the Psalms, at least the first 70, I think it was. And we just selected a few to study. We didn't go do all 70. And now we're reading the Very Good Gospel. And I'm just really grateful for this group, especially how we share prayer requests. So there was last Monday night, a couple Monday nights ago, we were getting into the Christmas season, and a lot of the women were not going to be able to attend, but I think three or four of us got online, and we just prayed. We shared prayer requests, but we also prayed for the women who weren't there, because we have their lists also. We have seen some answers to prayer that are really exciting. The requests that we share stay in the group. We don't talk about these outside of the group, especially, the more private concerns. So I had not been in a Bible study group for years. I chose to go join other small groups here at Newland, like the movie group, for example. But Deb Harsma leads us, and she does an excellent job. But we all contribute. So I want to give thanks for that group of faithful women tonight.
My name is Dick Vanderkamp, and I've been around here since 1968. And in that time, I've had a variety of ways to serve. Long-term usher, long-term building committee member, maybe a 12-year Sunday school teacher. I'm just grateful for the opportunities that we all get to do. The sign says there's a place for you, and there really is. The place has expanded to, and for me, for different types of ministries. I've spent a lot of time with Caleb Herman, watching him move on from his home to graduating from high school, getting a job, and now starting a career. Wants to be a licensed plumber. I think of the people that have supported him, Tim Verstraat and Ron Hoffman. But I think of the people that drove him to school every day his junior year, because he had an attendance problem because he wasn't encouraged to go to school. And we made sure he got to school every day. To a degree, we're doing that with Caden Herman right now. And when I think of Caden, I think of the trip we went to Montana a few years ago. He rode in my van. And after about 3 hours, we had to take away his his telephone because he was video games and all sorts of crazy things. It kind of wore us all out over 14 days all by himself. And now, thanks to a encouraging math teacher at his charter school last year, he is in the ROTC program at Innovation High, which is the old Central High School. He has a short-term goal of being a successful graduate from high school, which would then lead to an opportunity for him to at least delve into a military career. A young man who could never look you in the eye or hardly look you in the eye, who has just made that change. A little bit of it comes from the military experience that he desires. But I think of the teacher that was his kind of his backbone last year, saying, "Caden, I can help you, but you have to do this, this, and this in order to get out of eighth grade successfully, because you can't just go anywhere you want to go without something or someone." The other family that I've come connected with is the Pedraza family. Two boys, again, supported in a variety of ways by Neyland people as a family, the Van Winkles, the Sorensons, etc. They are now, they live in an apartment complex in the northeast end of town. And on a whim, I investigated the opportunity of, would the Snyder Scholarship work for a kid like Jose Jr.? And between Lois Knadike and Nancy Staub and some really neat people in the Grand Rapids Christian Schools, Jose is having a wonderful experience. He's completed a very successful first semester. And the family that really didn't know a word of English, the two boys speak fluently. Mom is getting better. Dad is successfully employed now at Bethany Christian Services. And through Anita Zantra's husband, Saul. And all of a sudden, you have another case of success because people were willing to invest. And so I say to you, in the year of 2022, there will be an opportunity. It doesn't always have to happen here. You all have different opportunities in your work world, your school world, etc. But find a way. There is someone out there who could just use a boost, a little help, encouraging word. And then, you know, the sweat equity that goes with it. And so when I look back in the last COVID time till today, we've conquered a lot. Dwayne touched on three different facets, and I would concur in how I felt about Larry. In this time, I've spent a lot of time in conversation about him in so many different facets, and always a listening ear, always encouraging, always saying we'll navigate it together with the help of our God. And he will, and he does. And so my encouragement is put yourself out there. And don't be surprised. You'll enjoy it.
Well, thank you all so much for sharing, and also those who didn't come forward, but this has stirred up testimonies in our hearts, right? The Lord hears those too. Just thinking about the themes of what we just heard too. The Lord is with us in anxiety, right? with us in the strain. He doesn't let go of us. He's with us in the present, helps us live and accept the present and enjoy the present. And that is something I think that as a thick community here, Neyland is doing well, even through the anxiety of pandemics and all the other things that were mentioned here, even through some really hard losses too throughout this year. We are being thick community. We are sticking with one another. And that is a beautiful thing. That's just reflective of who our God is, who sticks with us. So if you'd rise with me now, let's sing together in rise in body or spirit. Let's sing together, "Great is thy faithfulness." When you talk about God's faithfulness, you think of that loyal love that never lets go. God is faithful. So let's sing together about God and his compassions.
Be seated. We've just celebrated the birth of Christ, who changed the world, whose coming changes us. We who hear the story and believe it is true, we believe that the Son of God came to transform us. And now, as we prepare for a new year, Colossians 3 helps us to consider what that change can mean for us. In Paul's letter to the Colossian church, he reminds the believers, "You died, and your life is hidden with Christ. Put to death the old habits, the old step by step. You used to walk in these ways, but now put off the old self. Get rid of all that junk in your lives. Put on a new self. Get ready. Prepare yourselves for a new life with Christ." And this is what it looks like. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A few years ago, when I was in Ludington, my book club read this book, Wonder. It's the story of August Pullman, a boy born with facial differences that kept him home for surgeries and to protect him from the stares of others. But then his parents decided that he should go to fifth grade. He was terribly anxious, and he keeps his head down as much as possible to avoid the stares and shocked glances of other students and teachers. Yet August is also eager to learn, and he even hopes to find a few people who will accept him for who he is. In one of his first classes, Mr. Brown teaches the word precept. He explained that it means rules about really important things. And he invites the students to share important things, things that are important to them, and then he tells them who we are is the most important thing. And then finally, Mr. Brown wrote down the September precept. The September precept says, when given the choice between being right or being kind, choose kind. Choose kind. We could all use a little more kindness, couldn't we? It's been a rough year. We see lots of situations where we wonder, whatever happened to kindness? And other times where we have seen extraordinary kindness. And Paul talks in Colossians about kindness too. In this short passage, he describes God's chosen people, holy and loved, who are clothed with kindness, who put on love, who live together in peace. And that sounds like a community I'd like to be part of, a community I am part of. And I'm thinking that as we enter a new year, maybe we all can learn some new habits that will make us even more like that kind of community. Paul's letters remind us what it means to be the church, the body of Christ, the ones bound together by the Holy Spirit. He writes that because you believe and since you have been raised with Christ, you should put to death things of the earthly nature. Put aside those old filthy habits, the practices of people mired in sin, and put on the new self. After all, you are renewed in the image of Christ. You're God's chosen people who receive God's grace and the gift of faith, who are called to be holy, the children of God, who are dearly loved by our Heavenly Father. So now this is what you do. You put on new clothes. What a great idea, right? As we prepare for a new year, to consider new clothes. Well, maybe not buying a new outfit, but new habits. And this new apparel is tenderhearted, humble, gentle, and kind. So practice kindness. And forgive each other as the Lord forgave you. And finally, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love binds us together in the body of Christ. Love flourishes in the communion of saints. And this community must let the peace of Christ rule over all that anxiety, the chaos that might otherwise fill our hearts and minds. We are to let the word of Christ, everything he taught by his words and his actions, his whole message, take up residence among us as we learn and worship together. And finally, be thankful. Sing with gratitude, it says. I've mentioned this before, and I'll probably bring it up again. It's important to practice giving thanks, to establish a habit of thanking God, maybe for at least three things every morning or every night. And there are actual psychological and physiological benefits to having an attitude of gratitude. Whatever, wherever, whenever, whatever you do or say in the church or outside the church, do it in the name of Jesus. Do it to his honor. Do it as his representative on earth. And do it with gratitude, giving thanks to God the Father through our Lord Jesus. After her birthday this week, Kathy Baker shared a quote that expressed her gratitude from Ronald Rollheiser in wrestling. He wrote that the Australian novelist Morris West wrote a series of autobiographical essays titled A View from the Ridge. And in the prologue, he suggests that age 75, you need to only have one word left in your spiritual vocabulary, gratitude. And that maturity is attained precisely at that moment when gratitude begins to drown out and cauterize the hurts in your life. As he describes it, life has served me as it serves everyone, sometimes well and sometimes ill, but I have learned to be grateful for the gift of it, for the love that began it, and the other loves with which I have been so richly endowed. Gratitude. Be thankful. And practice random acts of kindness, or intentional acts of kindness. I began with August Pullman from Wonder. That theme of kindness comes very early in the book, and it also comes very near the end of the book. The book ends with the principal talking to those graduating fifth graders about kindness, and he reads a couple of quotes. And then finally, he says this. There was one quote that says, "Always try to be a little kinder than is necessary, a little kinder than is necessary." And then at the end, he says, "What I want you students to take away from your middle school experience is the sure knowledge that in the future you make for yourselves anything is possible. And if every single person in this room made it a rule that wherever you are, whenever you can, you will try to act a little kinder than is necessary, the world really would be a better place. And if you do this, if you act just a little kinder than is necessary, someone else, somewhere, someday, may recognize in you, in every single one of you, the face of God. If you act a little kinder, someone may recognize in you the face of God." And we've heard testimonies about people in this community who are already doing that. And I'm grateful for you. Gratitude and kindness are just two of the traits that Paul emphasizes in Colossians 3. And this might be a good year to begin small, not to try to practice all of those new habits all at once, to just start with those two. To practice being the people of God with acts of kindness and affirming words, and with gratitude, gratitude toward others and gratitude in our hearts to God, so that others may see God in us. Let's be the church together, forgiven by God, a holy community marked by kindness and love, unity and gratitude. Let's pray. Holy God, gather us. Gather us in and make us your own. Give us to drink the wine of compassion and kindness. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us. Teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Fill us with gratitude, kindness, and love. In the name of our Lord Jesus, with thanks to God the Father. Amen. As we ponder how to practice putting on our new selves, let's sing our prayer to God. Gather us in. Let's stand and sing. Be seated. One way to put on our new life in Christ is to develop habits of kindness and gratitude. And another way is to practice being the body of Christ, coming together at the Lord's table. The everlasting God sent his beloved Son to bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And God gathers us at his table. He calls his sons and his daughters to love him, to serve him, to be salt of the earth. And our Lord gave us this feast of remembrance, communion, and hope. We remember Christ's sacrifice for us. We commune with each other and the Lord. And we have hope for our future with the everlasting God. All who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, who trust in him alone for their salvation, are invited to come to the table of our Lord.
Family in Christ, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right for us to give thanks and praise.
Holy and everlasting God, we praise your name. Let the heavens be joyful, let the earth be glad. Thank you for giving us life and for preserving us by your providence. You've shown us the fullness of your love by sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup, and we proclaim the death, the saving death, and the resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. And we ask, God, that you now pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in this meal, that it may be to us a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Unite us in faith. Encourage us with hope. Inspire us in kindness and in love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast again at the table in your everlasting kingdom. All glory to you, God's people say.
Our Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Same way, after the supper, the Lord Jesus took up the cup, and he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes."
This evening, we would like to gather in a large circle around the chairs. We also want to be respectful of those of you who may be more cautious about COVID. We have bread that will be given to you with a tong, and there are glasses of juice in the tray that you will take. If you would prefer to use one of the packets, you may do that. If you would prefer not to stand in the circle, you may go back to your seat. And there's also gluten-free bread here for anybody who needs it, and you may come to the table to get that as well. And as you move to gather in the circle, you may want to take your bulletin with you so that you can sing the songs that we will be singing together as we bring the elements to you. Dear friends in our Lord Jesus Christ, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. have already been singing God's praise, and we join the saints and angels around God's throne in an additional acclamation of praise. Repeat after me. Praise and glory.
Praise and glory.
And wisdom and thanks.
And wisdom and thanks.
And honor and power and strength.
And honor and power and strength.
Be to our God forever and ever.
Be to our God forever and ever.
Amen. Let's sing Praise to God the Father, sing, and then we'll give you the blessing. Grace has renewed us at the table with the bread of life. May this food strengthen you for a new year of loving and serving God and serving one another. And may God clothe you with kindness and gratitude and fill you with love and peace. Today, as we end an old year, tomorrow, as we begin a new year, now and forever. And all God's people say,
amen. Amen.
Go in peace.